Gittin, Perakei Mishneh Hei. There's weiter a collection of different inyonim over here, and what they have in common is just that they're together as takonis. Hei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgido, al achareshes, shehisiyo ovio. A chareshes is a girl who's not mukoyiv mitzvahs, but that doesn't have to impede her father on marrying her off. Same way a father can marry off a ketano, even though she's not a bas das, the father doesn't have to be a shliach of the daughter, and the daughter doesn't have to have das. The father has rights to marry his daughter off. The father can marry off a chareshes. Where's the problem? The problem is only, how would it ever be possible to end the marriage? To give her a get, l'cha'ira, there's a mokum lodun, that the venosan biyoda, the biyoda already has to be something that she does bedas. If she's not a bar das, so l'cha'ira, she can't be mekabel the get. Now, if you would say she's married midrabbonon, which by the way is a mission and the Yavam, so chareshes can get married. We don't want Nebuchadnezzar chareshes to be stuck without being able to get married. A charesh also, we want to be able to get married. The fact that he can't be Mekadosh and Isha Deraisu because he's not a Bardas, Chazal instituted that a Cheresh, they can live together. They can live together. It's Kedush and Rabbonon. So that I would understand that dissolving the marriage with a Gerishim, which is only on the Isha's Rabbonon, if the Isha's is Rabbonon, you can use a Get, which doesn't work Deraisu. Good. But a Cheresh is that the father married off, who's married Deraisu, that's the point of the Mishnah, maybe she has to be a Bardas in order to be Mekabel Get. On that we have an Edus that no. V'nosam piyodo, the heyois na halacha is that a husband can be megarish his wife, ben midaita ben bal korcho. So then, by definition, it doesn't need her das at all. The Gemara does point out that she has to be aware enough that she's called mishalcho ve'ene chazeres. The definition of what the Torah says, because of l'asevik yuz v'nosam piyodo v'shulcho mi beisoy, is the pshat is that when she's sent away, she has enough awareness to know that she's not living here anymore. And this is not her place. If her level of das is that low that she doesn't even know that, that's not v'shulch mibeisa. Therefore, a shoyta, one can't be megarish. Because with a shoyta, there's no reality. A cheresh, it's not the pshat that she's a shoyta. She has an impaired ability. A cotton has an immature ability. A cheresh has an impaired ability. And a shoita has an alternative reality. So, meddle with a shoita, there's no mishalcha v'ene chazeres. Therefore, there's no way to be megarish. V'al ketano bas Yisrael shenises l'koyin. A ketano, who's a daughter of Yisrael, she's married to a koyin. What the Mishnah is talking about over here is not a young girl who's a bas Yisrael that her father married off. She'd be married deraisa. She's married to a koyin. Why shouldn't she eat truma? We know the din that an Eishes Kohen eats Truma. What we're talking about over here is a Bas Yisrael that cannot be married Deraisa. Her brother or mother married her. She's married only the Abonon. And that's why you could dissolve the marriage Ayde Miu, the Mishnayis and then the Yevomis. Therefore, if she's married to a Kohen, how could she eat Truma? So the Gemara's Mavu over here, we're talking about Truma Derabonon. And they allowed her to eat Truma Derabonon because she's married. She can't eat Truma Deraisa. The Mesa, we also were misakin that the marriage should be considered as binding, that by Le Yosha, that her husband should yashin her. There would be a mokum to say that not. Another din that's mavur over here, which has nothing to do with say the noshim, Vala Morish HaGozel Shabnoi Bebira. If Yehuda ben Gudgina was made that is Takonis Chachom, it's called Takonis Morish. Morish means a board. And when a person steals something, the same way when he's mazik, he's chayv $100. If he steals something that's worth $100, also chayv $100. But before that, there's a mitzvah of a heshed exhale, he has to give back the original. He can't give back the dollar and cents value. Unless that thing was nishtana, but even where you can't give it back and consider it a hashov of that thing, we call that kinyon exhale and shinui, which is koina, in Mishnayis and Bava Kama, that because it became a different chayfetz, now it's in the reshus of the ganav. For instance, he stole a pile of wool and it was turned into clothing. Clothing is not wool. He can't give it back and now it completely belongs to the ganav. A board that was stolen, a morish agozel, shabnoi babir, theoretically you can pull out the nails and you can give back that board. Chazal instituted a takana. We don't want that somebody should not do tshuva on a gneva. So in certain cases, we're makel in order to allow for the person to have a way to give it back. So midaraisa, what should be the din? Din is should be take apart the house, unnail it. The board is salvageable as a board and give it back. Once it was built into a building, so it's like we say that it was nishtana, and we say that he's not mechuyev to give it back. It's a takona. He took a marsh, he took a board, benoy babira, he built it into a building. He doesn't have to give it back. What's the halacha? Sheit las domov, he has to give back the dollar and cents value. Mipnei takona zashov. Because we want that people should be easier to do tshuva and to give back stolen property. V'achatos ha'gzula sh'loi noidu l'rabim. Achatos gzula, which is an animal which was stolen, and then it was brought by the ganav, by the gazlan, as a korban. If it's loy noidel rabim that doesn't belong to the person who's bringing the korban, so then we made it din derabbanan shimechaperes mipnei tikkun hamizbeach. Something interesting here. A kohen just finished eating from a korban chatos that was brought by Yankel. Turns out that Yankel was not so erlich, and Yankel stole the behemoth from Shmerel, and he had to bring the korban. We're going to tell Yankel, Meikar Adin, that he should bring another korban. He wasn't yet to eat his behemoth. So Yankel brings another animal. They see him coming. They say, what happened to you? Another Avera? He said, no, the last one wasn't good. Turns out that the Kahanim, Lemafreya, unwittingly ate Chulim Bazara, a behemoth that was not Kodesh, that was Geshochten, was a mistake. And because of that, they're going to be very suspicious and they're not going to bring korbanos regularly. So in order, if they take him back, the Kahanim shouldn't be suspicious. We allow it to go through and we say, okay, he's Mechaper. Does it does. Mishnah Vov is a different takona. It's also legabi gzela, but it's a whole sugya shlema. Heyois, the details over here are about persecutions of Klai. So this is where the Gemara sticks in the arichus of the sugyas of Churban Bayis Sheni, like we pointed out in the psicha, the pack. Lahayos sikrikun bi Yehuda ba'arugim milchama. Sikrikun is a word that was used, that was made up in the end of the period of Bayis Sheni. It's a word that denotes a state of lawlessness and property exchanging hands, pashet gezel b'reish goli. The word sikrikun is a neutrikun, the mafarshim explain, of sokarka v'henicheni. Take my karka, take my land, and let me be. Sikrikun, sokarka v'henicheni. That means basically your money or your life, and people would be giving away their property in order to save their lives. In the tkufa of Melchoma that directly preceded the Churban HaBayis and directly after the Churban HaBayis, these were the Melchomas that were waged by Vespasian Aspasianus and his son Titus Harosha, Yemach Shemam VeZichrom. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. In that time, the rule of the day was for the Romans and for anybody affiliated with the Romans was Achman Lansan to kill Yidden on sight. Because of that, the understanding is that if a Yid gave a Goy a piece of karka in order to bribe the Goy not to kill him, it's with a relief that the Yid is not going to be killed. So Melo, we see that even though it's at gunpoint, we see that as a willing acquiescence to the Matana. And we say the Goy could keep it. The Goy could keep it. If the Goy has it, the Goy legally owns it. We don't see it as the Yid's. That being said, then the Romans made auctions, and maybe they sold property to anybody who put in a bid. The shaila is that bid accepted? Do we look at that as the owner of the property? We say, no, it's stolen property. So Meli can't be koine. So we say that lehoyu sikrikum b'yehuda karuge mulchama, baruge mulchama, by the haruge mulchama, by the times, like we said, of the mulchama around the second Beis HaMikdash, around the Churban in the second Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the din of Sikrikun. We'll see soon what was the din of Sikrikun that was at a later period. But at this point, we say that whatever land went to a goy under duress, if he sold it to a yid, it belongs to a yid. Thus it does. Meharuge melchama velech, after the period of haruge melchama, when things quieted down, and there wasn't an automatic shoot to kill order upon seeing a yid. So then, yesh b'sikrikun, there's a din Sikrikun. Keitzad, what does it mean? What's the din of Sikrikun? A yid is lokach misikrikun. A yid takes from one of these robbers, one of these goyim that are threatening. V'choza v'lokach mibalabayis. The yid then goes over to the former owner of the house. The owner of the house lost his house at gunpoint. The Yid buys the house from, he pays the Sekrikun, and then he goes back to the original owner of the house. The halacha is Mekhoi Botl. And the Havanel is like this. Until the time, or rather during the time of Haruge Mulchama, when the order was to kill on sight, so then a Yid would be so overwhelmingly bepachad of whichever goyim that were there, so that even though they weren't paid for the fields by goyim, we look at it as a legitimate kinyan from the goyim, because we see that agav, that they're so scared that they're makna to the goyim, they're happy to get away with their lives. This is basically a rule where the Gemara goes, it's really a sugyan bava basu, and the Gemara brings it up over here. The rule of thumb is that when a person is forced to sell his house or anything else that he owns, agav zuze gomer makne, if he's paid money, we see him being paid money as his acquiescence to the sale. Not that he wants the sale, but lemaisa, since he was paid money, we see it as a sale. Tlui vizovin, zvini zvini. If they threaten to hang him, vizovin, and he's sold, zvini zvini, the sale is a sale. Tlui vioiv, however, if they threatened to hang him, if he doesn't give it, that means he's going to have to sign away his nechosim without a price. The Nazis come in, he's going to have to allow his business to be nationalized. His signature is worthless. Tlui v'yoyev lav zvini. It's not considered a sale. Over here, when the Sekrikin took, b'shas harugim ulchama, it was tlui v'yoyev. Why is the sale a sale? It's not a sale. Why is the gift a gift? Because when there's mass shmad, then it's not just a personal being threatened by one goy. The death is in the ear. Misa, persecution, harigis, rachman al-tzlan, are in the ear. That's, we look at that as an oynes godel, because it's widespread. And because of that, we see that he gave away his property. That being said, after the zman of haruge mulchama, so then it was only a time where there was a lot of harassment, there was a lot of persecution, but it wasn't that matzav of shmat. If it wasn't that matzav of shmat, so first of all, he's not as scared of the Sekrikin. Maybe he signed over his property, but that's, we don't see that as acquiescence. He was just doing it to be practical because the guy was threatening him. And then even when the yid comes, the yid who bought it at auction from the guy comes over to him and offers him a few dollars for it. So he says to him, oh, okay, fine, he'll take the few dollars. Let's fight him because he's scared of the guy. It's not worth putting up a fight. He figures he'll get it back, whatever, he'll work it out. But not that he's moided to the mekach, not that he acquiesces. So therefore the halacha is that if it's b'shas harugim mulchama, that doesn't have the din of Sekrikin. The din of Sekrikin is that mekhoi botl. Mibalabayis. If he actually went to the owner first, he knows there's a karka at auction, the goyim are selling karkos that they confiscated from Yidden. They're selling real estate. He goes over to the real owner, he's an erlechid, he goes over to the real owner, he's mefayis and bezuzi, and then he goes and he puts a bid on, and he wins the bid by the goy, by the persecutor's auction. So then the halach is he can keep it. Why? Because since he went to the yid first, the yid wasn't at that point under complete duress, because it hadn't yet been sold to the yid by the goy, by the persecutor. So therefore the halach is mibalabayis v'chazav alagun Sekrikin. If he first bought it from the owner and then he went to Sekrikin, mechakayim, tzchal. Lokach min ho'ish, v'chazav lokach min ho'isho, mechay botl. What are we talking about over here? This is a similar halacha. This is somebody who's married, and his karka is meshubet l'ksubas ishtoy. We learned more about ksubas. Every husband, all his karka is meshubet l'ksubas ishtoy. What happens if a husband sells his karkois? His wife's not going to have a mokum to collect that ksuba. So the sale is not mevatel the shibud. We know there's a din of lekuchas. That means if the husband, we just said in the beginning of the berak, if the husband sells the karka, she'll be able to go collect from the lekuchas. What happens if lokach min ho'ish, the Mishnah says, he bought the karka from the husband, and then he was mefayis the woman by offering her some money, because of a lokach min ho'ish, and then he took the karka from the isha. That means he gave her also, and with that she was meichel her shibud, her right to collect from the karka. Mekhe batl. Avada, the woman could say that she was intimidated not to chep with her husband. She's not mevata on the shibud, but she went along with it in order not to chep with her husband. But minoisha v'chozav alokach minoish mekhaikayim. It went the other way. First it came over to the woman. It was mefayis her. But the woman at that point is not so intimidated because her husband yet hadn't sold it. So Mela, we see that acquiescence as taka ritzui b'lev sholim, and then the mechila is a mechila. Zu mishne rishoyne. This was the first version of this tzuris of the shmaitza. Bezdin shalachareim amru. Then there was a mesoris that changed this chronology, this din. Halakech mesikrikun, this bezdin shalachareim said. Somebody buys from sikrikun. Noisim lebailim revia. Bezdin shalachareim, a door or a half a door after that, saw that the situation the way it was, lefi the hoiro rishoyna, would cause that karkois would stay beyat sikrikun, that a lot of the land that was owned by Yidden and it saw pre-churban by Yisheni would stay bidei goyim and it wouldn't revert back to Yiddish ownership. Why? The owners themselves would be intimidated, they'd be scared to try to get it back. Nobody would buy from the sikrikun because at that point where it's after Arugi Mulchama, they're going to have to give the karka right back to Eden. So what's the end result? The end result is that a lot of karkois stayed and languished bidei akum. Chazal wanted that not to be the case. So the mela, they adjusted the din a little bit. Halakech misikrikun, they said, noisim lebailam revia. They made that a person could buy from sikrikun and we would look at it as his. But, generally speaking, the Reitzchim are going to offer the Schoira, the fields, at a lower price than they were actually worth. Well, that's because they got it by gunpoint. So they would offer it for a quarter less, and therefore the Revach that you're going to get, that you're going to buy it from Sikrik, and you buy it at an auction. Is it fair that you should get it on the Yid's back, on the original owner's back? You have to give them at least the difference of the Revia that the field generally was cheaper. MSI. When it wasn't possible for the first owner to try to get their kakois back. Somebody else would not be able to come buy a piece of karka bimkoim where the original owner wanted to try to get back his karka. What happened was there was a period later on where the metzias changed. And at that point, the Gemara says it was at the point where the order of the day was to kill Yidin. The Lashon of the Gemara is that the order to the Romans, to the soldiers, to the Goyim, was Misha'eni Horig Yohorig. They have to kill Yidin. Then there was another order where if they kill Rachman Al-Tzlan, they won't be prosecuted. It wasn't as much as Man of Shema. It wasn't Mamish like 1943 in the middle of the Nazi terror, but it was definitely a period of persecution. Then later on, things calmed down. And even in Eretz Yisrael, there was this month where there was a certain amount of law and order came back, and it wasn't okay to just kill a Yid. At that point, Rebbe was Moshe Bezdin, and they made a separate takana, v'nimnu, in order to overturn a previous gzera. You need that the full Sanhedrin, and that's why the Lashon Mishnah says Rebbe, Hoshev Bezdin, v'nimnu, they decided, if the field was left by the Sikrik for the Sikrikun 12 months, if the ability, like we just said in the second Gzeira, which said that the original owner has the right to buy it out, if he didn't exercise that right, 12 months, so then we see the Mistama, there's an acquiescence, Lamafre, we see him that he was Maida, that the giving of the field to the Sikrikun was legitimate. And then the Halach is that Shos of the Sikrikun Shnei Masa Chodesh, Kolakayim Likach Zoicha. Then whoever wants could buy it. Avonaisin Labailim Revia, that Takhana still remained, that since the price was cheaper, the original owner should be paid that differential of what he didn't have to pay.